Julie Alexander. Headed up to Lansing this morning?
I am, Steve. I'm in the car right now. I just pulled over to take this phone call, and then I will fix the route.
Oh, good. I won't hold you up too long. I want to make sure you get there safely. But I guess tell us, number one, what's going on in Lansing today that's got you headed up there?
Well, the reason I'm heading to Lansing is simply to be the voice of the thousands of the people that have been reaching out to me on a continuous basis. Again, my office number, 517-373-1795. If you'd like to email me, julialexander@house.mi.gov. These are people that are telling me they're really being hurt by the one-size-fits-all approach. We know that there are many jobs that can be done safely. Our main priority is what can be done safely. And we are going up to Lansing today to vote on a concurrent joint resolution to create a select committee on COVID-19. This committee will be bicameral. That means both the House and the Senate. It will be bipartisan. And there are many individuals that believe oversight is needed. The Senate will also be introducing two pieces of legislation that would limit the governor's powers during these emergency times. So that's what's happening in Lansing.
Perfect. So this is a chance to I guess offer oversight to the things that the governor does with executive orders, emergency statements and stuff like that.
Correct. So right now the governor has the extensive emergency authority under the emergency powers of the Governor's Act. That's where we are at today.
Mm-hmm.
That extensive authority is under the governor's powers at this time. That is due, to expire the end of the month. And we are just asking for the conversations. We're looking at all options on the table. We're looking for more collaboration.
Well, reports today, Julie, that, and I guess I didn't see the confirmation, but we're expecting the governor to make another press conference at 3:00 this afternoon. And the expectation is for loosening of some of the restrictions maybe at the first of the month. Have you heard any of that? I'm sorry.
I have read those same reports in some Lansing news sources. So let's see what the day brings. Steve, I have to stop right now, though, because I completely understand that people are worried about their health first and foremost. That is my number one top concern as well. People's health is what's crucial here, that we, as we navigate this process, that as we look at opening the economy again, we need to look at who can work safely without threatening their own health or the health and safety of others. Safety will always be the key. But as we look at what behaviors, what professions might be able to work in that safe manner, I believe strongly that that's what's needed as we start the road back.
Julie, I want to try to get a little clarification on some of the stuff that people might be still unclear about, I guess, because we get an emergency declaration, and then we get the stay home, stay safe order. Then the legislature approves to extend the emergency declaration. And the stay home, stay safe order expire. Both the extension and the stay home, stay safe order expire at the end of the month. So I guess there's maybe a lack of clarity as to who has the authority going forward to make these orders.
And Steve, that's a very valid point. It's a very valid question. The confusion comes because of the fact we have two statutes. We have two laws on the book that address the governor's power. One is based on a 1945 law, and that 1945 law offers information on what the governor is able to do during times of emergency. The second law is a 1976 law that deals with emergency times, emergency management times, and it empowers the governor to enact these executive orders, has the complete power, during the duration of up to 28 days at a time, and that it needs to be renewed. So that's where the confusion comes, the fact that we are dealing with two public acts.
Great. Thank you for little clarification there, so people can kind of understand that there's more than one thing at play here, I think. So I guess again, we're expecting a press conference from the governor, and the word on the street is extending things to maybe May the 15th, and she has the authority to extend that stay home order to that point.
When we went to Lansing a few weeks ago, we took a vote to give her the power until the end of the month. Based on that vote right there, I would say she has the power to the end of the month. But again, she's going to most likely say that her powers are indefinite as long as she maintains the state of emergency. That's where the confusion then lies.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you answering that for us. Now, we know kind of a lot of economic things in Michigan is kind of ground to a halt. And I guess, is that the same for the legislature? I mean, what are some things maybe that you were working on prior to COVID-19 outbreak that have kind of been stalled as a result?
You know, I think the bigger piece is helping the constituents. I've always said, as your representative here in the 64th District, again, representing the city of Jackson and eight surrounding townships, Hanover, Concord, Glasgow, Spring Arbor, Sandstone, Parma, Summit, and Napoleon Township. As your representative, I've been doing three things. I allocate the money, I handle the budget. The second thing I do is create good policy. And number three is I represent the people. And I'm here to take your phone calls. I'm here to listen. Right now, the priority has to be, while maintaining and protecting the people from COVID-19, finding a pathway, finding a way to begin reopening Michigan's economy. In doing so, people are bringing, on a daily basis, people are bringing additional insight to me. Do you realize because of the shutdown, this is happening? What are we going to do to fix that?
Mm-hmm.
On a daily basis, people are bringing solutions. People are bringing problems to me. So that is part of my day. I also have taken one of my staffers. I have two individuals that work with me in the office. One spends his complete day helping individuals navigate unemployment insurance. That is a major, major problem. And my goal is always when emails come into the office, again, JulieAlexander@house.mi.gov, and say, listen, this is our problem. We're locked out of our unemployment. We can't even log in. They won't answer the phones. We can't, whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
We are there to help you. We are there to navigate it with you. We know that right now we have record cases on file already. We know that, I believe the number was 1.2 million people have already reached out and made these files. 20% of Michigan workers are already on the unemployment caseload right now. So needless to say, the system is a little overwhelmed. I'm just here to say we are here to help you as you navigate. In fact, to that point, Steve, next Friday, May 1st, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I will be holding a virtual office hours. So what we plan on doing is if you're having a problem navigating the unemployment insurance, making that claim, call our office or email our office. And for that 1 hour, I will have specialists from the unemployment insurance department online to be there to help you navigate this. Again, there are some things we've been able to just help individuals on our own. But what's most important, Greg, is that I'm here to listen to the people, to serve the people, and help them navigate through these challenging times.
What were the times for that again, Julie?
On Friday 1st, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, I will be having virtual office up. So you can call my office, you can email my office, and just say you really need an appointment. And I will tell you, Steve, if those times that we're going to allocate to people to call in, if they fill up, I will do this on a regular basis until I can help everyone that's in need. Because I will tell you, the phone calls that are coming in, the desperation of individuals that really need help, whether it's this unemployment check, some other individuals, I strongly encourage those that are in need of just basic needs or food or shelter, please call 211. There are options and services available to you as well. So for those in need, filing unemployment insurance, know that we're here to help you navigate those challenging times. We're going to have virtual office hours. calling 211 for immediate needs is another option.
Yeah, I think the unemployment insurance issue has been the most persistent gripe that I've heard people bringing up to me, or you know, in I guess I'm not really overhearing anyone because I'm not around other people, but the most consistent complaint that I've heard is that people are having issues getting their unemployment filing completed.
Yeah, and just an understanding that what the system used to be is not what it is now. So mm-hmm. someone self-employed, a contract individual with a 1099, a lot of those individuals that or maybe were underemployed or they didn't meet or their employer simply didn't pay into the pool, those individuals are now eligible. And I will tell you that my staff sat in and on a conference call yesterday with the unemployment insurance agency. And what they want you to know is that, again, this is according to the Unemployment Insurance Agency, they want you to know that everyone will get the money that they are owed and that they are handling the older cases first. A statement that the governor made recently that some people are going to be fast-tracked in the system. They want you to know that they are handling the cases based on the older cases first and moving forward. You know, they're doing the best they can, and my office and I are here to help as well.
Julie, I've heard that the Republicans in the legislature have been kind of putting out a plan as to phasing in to opening up the economy. And what kind of date do you see as being the best or the most likely to see a real reopening of businesses?
You know, to be honest, Steve, it depends on how the conversations go with the governor.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to ask the governor to come to the table and have these conversations. We have given her solutions. We have given her regionalizations of the state. We've been giving her options and metrics in place. You know, to change the conversation from essential versus unessential to safe versus unsafe, those have been some of the asks. Consistency in the laws. Our greenhouses are shut down. Our greenhouses, although there may be some out there that are open and working, it's been made very clear, but yet you can go some places and buy plants and you can't go others.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking for consistency. We're asking to upgrade to the recent CISA standards. And those CISA standards just make a clear determination at a federal level. We're one of the very few states that have not upgraded to those standards, which, again, just basically outlines who can work safely and who cannot. How are these procedures that value the safety of not only the workers, but those individuals going buying that product or that service? That is of the utmost importance. The safety of everyone is truly the top priority. But we feel strongly that there is that balance between working safely and starting the process of putting things back together.
Wonderful, Julie. Well, I appreciate your call this morning, and you only called me Greg once.
Oh, did I? It's going to happen. My apologies. If you're anything like me, I'm sure you've been called worse also.
For certain. Thanks so much, Julie. Have a great day.
Thank you, Steve. And just one last thing again.
Uh-huh.
My heart is very heavy for those that are suffering with COVID-19, and my sincere appreciation to those on the front line that are fighting it, our healthcare providers, our first responders, our correction officers. Those are the people out there that are dealing with it day in and day out. And my sincere gratitude for those that are doing that, and my prayers to all of those that are suffering, have suffered, and are fighting. Serving as your representative is truly an honor, and I take my responsibilities very seriously.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Julie. 64th District State Rep. Julie Alexander.